Welcome back to Mixed Bag. I'm here with Francesco and Isaac. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
So we're covering the October releases, but first let's talk about the games we've been playing. Since October is that busy, we're sticking to one game per person. So maybe I can start with The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which is kind of a mixed bag, like this podcast.
You didn't have that much fun with it?
Yeah, I think many people were a little disappointed at the announcement that it's not like an action-adventure that you're used to. It's more like a puzzle game, since there is no direct combat, at least in the beginning. But yeah, you can also switch into the Link mode and fight for brief periods of time. Kind of like the Kiryu mode in Like a Dragon. Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Sort of.
But yeah, you actually get a lot of drinks, hope they're called drinks, quite quickly to permanently use that mode, essentially, so you can always use that in combat. And you can cheese a lot of the puzzles by just using beds, stacking beds on top of each other, so really using all of the items.
Oh, I read about that. Unlock.
Yeah, you don't really need that. And the AI isn't the smartest when they fight for you. So you can kind of point them in a direction, but yeah. And yeah, another thing is the performance. So when you move the character, it kind of drops to 30 FPS and then goes up to 60 again. Yeah, kind of weakened that part, like Link's Awakening, which I haven't really played much, but I've heard the performance was also pretty poor. But I do like the art style and the writing. The German translation is really lovely done. So I will definitely play it more. But yeah, performance is an issue, and I hope the Switch 2 version runs a lot better.
Yeah, well, presumably with how the frame rate's handled, like, the better hardware should just mean that it will stay locked 60 no matter what. Presumably, it's like a lot of PlayStation 4 games where they didn't need patch, they just, you know, had a better frame rate.
Kind of like VRR.
Yeah. So it's like, it should be stable on whatever hardware comes next. It's obviously interesting to see like that and like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom to see what they like how those handle the new hardware as well.
At least you can expect the frame rate drops there in that game, opposed to Breath of the Wild, where it just stutters at some points in time. Here, you know, every time you move, it stutters.
Yeah, and from what I remember seeing, it's like dungeons are a little better for that sort of thing, because they're obviously, they're not in like the actual bigger overworld.
Mainly the overworld cities, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the map is kind of huge. I think it's quite larger than Link's Awakening.
Yeah, it's basically an expanded version of like A Link to the Past. Well, like some of like the existing areas are tweaked and whatnot anyway, but it's also like, there's also like the area around the A Link to the Past map that's like now open. So it's like pretty big. Obviously there's the dungeons and stuff on top of that as well.
I'm just in the Gerudo Valley. There's not a lot happening. It's mainly just desert, and still the frame rate drops quite a lot.
Yeah, I think the main issue is it's because it's like they're trying to go for like a higher resolution than a lot of Switch games end up aiming for anyway. It's like Nintendo likes to do that a lot. But, and obviously like some, there's like, from what I remember, there's like a bit of like depth of field and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, like obviously like whatever the Switch 2 is, should be pretty consistent on that without any patches needed.
Did play a couple of other games that I can mention, maybe. I don't really know how it's pronounced. Shim. S-C-H lowercase I-M. So it's kind of like a Splatoon-like puzzle game. Quite short. And it has a neat art style. And I finally played Imposter Factory. I think it's the third game in the To the Moon franchise.
And I think so, yeah.
To the Moon Beach episode was just dropped. It's kind of like a fever dream getting all of the characters from all of the games in one even smaller game. But yeah, very well written. I like the music, but I haven't finished it yet. And I also tried Fast Penguin. It's a free-to-play Fall Guys / Mario Kart kind of game. Had huge performance issues in the beta. I think they fixed that. Runs pretty well now. But yeah, it takes a long time until you unlock any kind of customization items opposed to Fall Guys, even though the menu looks exactly like Fall Guys. And the levels are kind of very similar as well. And there's also one mode that is kind of reminiscent of Fall Guys, the final stage, where you have to survive. I think maybe if the unlocks are quite worth it, it could be an interesting title. But for now, yeah, you can try it. It's free to play. So, but I think it doesn't really compete with Fall Guys yet or other free to play games.
Yeah, like I was looking up some stuff when it first launched, and there seemed to be a lot of issues with like connections and stuff, and like, a lot of lag.
I think the primary audience is in Japan, so maybe that's a big issue, and there are no server regions from what I've seen.
Yeah, it could be that. Definitely won't help.
It does feel that it runs a lot better than the beta, though, even though most players are Japanese. Somehow they fixed it, kind of.
Yeah, well, the beta build was probably, like, a little bit earlier as well. Like, obviously, the beta came out before the full release, but that build was probably, like, at least a month old anyway. Usually, that's usually how it ends up being.
And also tried to Drive Rally. It's a neat little indie rally game with a lot of... I don't think they are licensed, but they kind of look pretty much exactly like real rally cars from every kind of era. Has quite a bit of content. That's quite cool. I think that's mainly it from what I've played.
I was like, at first I was thinking there's like another one that released this year but it had more like PS1 style visuals. I don't know what it's called now, but
there was this isometric top-down kind of one. I think the Art of Rally, but that's a few years ago.
I can't remember what it was called, but basically it was like a rally sort of one, but it went with like it was emulating kind of like PS1 racing games with the visual style.
Okay.
But I'm never going to be able to find what it is now. But whatever it was, that other one looked cool. I'm never going to remember the name of it now.
Just a single player only, but at least it has leaderboards.
Yeah, like the... I feel like sort of like rally ones and whatnot don't really benefit that much from online anyway. Or at least
it kind of gets chaotic from what we've played from WRC.
Yeah. But it's like since most of the time you wouldn't be meeting other vehicles anyway. It's like
and the leaderboards. Does support online ghosts from what I've seen, so that's pretty cool.
Like that's about what it needs, at least. That's how I feel with that sort of thing.
And it's pretty entry-friendly, opposed to many other rally games or racing games.
Remnant 2 got its third and probably final DLC. They're calling it the final one, but there's always a chance they'll, you know, make a few more. It's the final of, like, the planned ones that came with the season.
The final DLC for now!
Well, it's basically, they announced... When the game came out, like, there was two other editions or whatever, and, like... Some came with like the season pass or whatever they ended up calling it, and there's like three DLCs. So the final one of those came out recently. They all kind of just added like a little bit more content and like weapons and like some areas and things. They're fine, but they're not really. They don't really like fix things up that much. This last one did get like a boss rush, like or an arena mode or something, which I haven't tried yet, but. I kind of get the feeling they might try and release more DLC for it anyway. Like, whether it's, like, another set of three or just, like, one big new one. Like, I don't know, but...
Maybe it depends on how much it sells.
Yeah, like, because the game still does okay. Like, the base version's on Game Pass now. Like,
yeah, so maybe the DLC would actually sell a bit better because people subscribe to Game Pass may be more inclined to just...
Yeah, it's DLC. Like... It still does okay. Like, I think it's a good game. It's a bit different from like other looter shooters or like even like roguelikes. It's sort of its own thing, and I do prefer it a lot compared to the first game, which was like similar, but like maybe a bit less, even less variety. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting one, whether they make more DLC for this or work on like a sequel or just do something completely different. It's like, who knows? But yeah, like, it's playing that. I think the other main one would be Monomyth, which came out early October, like about a week ago now. It's like a first-person dungeon crawler, kind of like Kingsfield, kind of like Arx Fatalis, which is, like, I think it's more of the Arx than anything else. But it's definitely an interesting one. It's definitely like theming itself around like older sort of dungeon crawlery games. I think they keep calling it like an immersive sim, and I'm like, I guess you can stack boxes on top of each other to reach places. It's just usually like the go-to thing for those. I think it kind of maybe released a little bit too early, which is what I end up saying about most early access stuff anyway, where like it released with a bunch of like really weird balance and some like performance issues and like other things that like it almost makes me wonder if they'd waited a week or two, maybe they wouldn't have had this. There's like weird stuff with like leveling and certain skills seemingly like not being that good, and the performance side of things, it was like mouse movement was like sort of tied to frame rate, so if you had any performance issues, you're like the sensitivity would be all over the place. But Monomyth's interesting. I'm kind of not that inclined to play much more of it until launch, though. It's like, I'm like that with a lot of early access games. I don't really like playing early access, because it's like, if I like the game, I'd rather just play it when it's fully out.
Yeah.
Rather than like playing it at whatever this at launch, and then having to like either play little bits of it here and there, or just wait for whatever 1.0 is. I don't know. I vastly prefer if it's just a full release from the get-go, because while some, like, the pattern I've seen with early access now is, while a lot of them are using, like, feedback and stuff from players and whatnot, I get the feeling that a lot of early access titles now, I mean, it's probably been this way before anyway, but, like, a lot of them aren't releasing an early access for feedback. They're releasing an early access because they don't have any money to continue development.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes across as more of a, like a last-ditch attempt to keep going, rather than this was the plan from the beginning.
Right.
A lot of times, even before the conception of early access, it does seem like it was used that way.
Yeah.
Let's like, try to get money, and if it works, we can actually finish the game.
So. This one, it was even funded through Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, so Monomyth, I don't remember how long ago it was kickstarted, because like I think it's like probably like going on like over 3 years, I think, since the original Kickstarter.
Yeah, like 2021.
Yeah, so it's like that seems to be fairly consistent too. But like, I feel like at that point you may as well just limit early players to backers more than anything else, rather than actually selling it as early access.
Yeah, exactly.
But
many games do that, actually, like The Darkest Fires, for example.
Yeah, like that is somehow some of them do it. But then, yeah, there's been a bunch of Kickstarter games where they just release it into early access. There's one I played it at early access launch, and I've been sort of following along with it, called One Lonely Outpost, where that's now on its third development team, I think.
Wow.
That one's been a weird one. But I am very, if at one point I was like okay with early access, but at this point I'm just like, I don't want to play early access stuff. Because like most of the time it's not being done for actual feedback purposes, it's just being done because otherwise it's just not coming out at all, but then it usually ends up being left half done anyway, so it's like, But yeah, I'd say Monomyth has potential. It's another one that's listed as like being an early access for 6 to 12 months. So like 12 months or a year or whatever is usually what like pretty much every early access game puts on the... And it never ends up being true. No. So it's like, maybe in a year I'll see what it's like. But I have a feeling in a year it still won't be done. It's I can't remember any that's actually listed like a year on the store page.
Made it
actually
on time.
Followed yeah. through. Yeah. It just never seems to happen. But yeah. Other than that, it's like most stuff's just been revisiting earlier games and playing stuff that I can't talk about yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's. I'm also in the same boat. It was. For me, it's mostly stuff that I already played about in the past. I guess the only thing new that is still coming out, but I can still talk about it a bit because we already surpassed the preview phase, so I can at least mention some stuff. It's the new Mario Party game, Super Mario Party Jamboree. From what I saw so far, it seems like they tried their best to like blend the best things about the previous two games, so Super Mario Party and the Superstar game. Obviously, it's a lot of fun if you play the multiplayer, that's a given. But it seems like it may be the best game of the collection so far, at least for the recent releases. Seems like they did a pretty good job with this one. I'm looking forward to see more of it once we get closer to release.
This week?
Yeah, next week, yeah, 17 October. There's not that much I can say, but there's a lot of characters and there's some unique mini-games. I see. They tried bringing back the partner system from Super Mario Party, but it's a bit more limited. It's not for every character, that's all I can say, but they try to make it more unique, so that's nice. I think they are just trying to test new ideas for an eventual game for Switch 2 or whatever. But they're really good ideas, so I hope they expand on them eventually. Seems like it can be a lot of fun if you like playing with friends. And ruin some friendships along the way. There's some really interesting stuff that I look forward to potentially share about in the future, but I don't want to spoil that much because, as I said, I don't want to... We're still in the review phase. I don't want to anger Nintendo too much. I guess that's as far as I'll go. I guess I can just mention that of the October releases, I also tried out... I mean, it's the demo, so you can try it out for yourself, but I tried it a bit earlier than release of Romancing Saga 2. Seems like a nice remake. They could have done a bit more in the graphics department, but it seems fun. We shall see how it turns out.
It also has to run on Switch.
I think it's also on Switch, yeah, but I tried it on PC.
I mean, that's maybe why the graphics aren't that great, because it has to run there.
Yeah, it's probably because of that, but also because they wanted to, like, just try quickly a port that doesn't cost too much money, you know?
See if there's interest in the franchise, yeah, maybe for a potential
sequel. Just to test the interest. They already did another remake recently, so I think. I'm not too familiar with the saga.
Yeah, I think so too. I vaguely remember something there. Like Saga Emerald Beyond, maybe you're thinking about that?
Yeah, I think that was the last game, yeah. But I don't remember if it was a remake or a new game. But
Emerald Beyond was... Interest. Yeah, Emerald Beyond was a new one.
Oh, okay.
The last remaster was like 2 years ago. The Minister
and
song?
I guess,
yeah.
I suppose it did relatively well and they thought, you know what, let's remake the older games that...
Saga, it's been weird to see Square Enix do stuff with it. Like, they kind of just, like, didn't do that much with it for a while, especially in the West. And now they're like, okay, let's just do...
All of a sudden, they remembered it exists.
Well, because, like...
Square Enix are kind of like that.
Yeah, it's very odd. The mobile game is shutting down now.
Obviously.
But yeah, that's them in general.
I don't trust any mobile game made by Square Enix. It always shuts down in a year or two.
The funny thing with Romancing Saga 2, like with the remake of that, is that it already like got a sort of remake/remaster once before, which did release in English too.
Yeah, that was really interesting. It was like a remaster, like you said. This time it's a full-on remake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
really weird,
like,
weird, but okay.
Yeah, with like, and then you had like Minstrel Song, which was a remaster of a remake. It's like okay. But yeah, that it's definitely an interesting series. The remake of Romancing Saga 2 does seem to be doing some new stuff with it as well. Outside of just obviously the big change being it's now in 3D.
Yeah, that's the overworld you can explore. Kind of like I don't want to say it in a bad way, but kind of like the Neptunia games or stuff by Ide Factory. It's very similar. Has very similar vibes to that kind of overworld. Like, there's not too much, but you can interact with stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, mainly just there to connect the actual playable areas.
Just there to say to players, you know, you have something to do besides battles or whatever. We shall see how it turns out, I guess, but I only tried the prologue, which is in the demo, so I don't think I'll be reviewing it anyway, so
yeah.
It was still an interesting game I tried.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool series, and yeah, very interesting to see Square Enix actually, like, do anything with it, and actually do a fair bit with it, not more than just, like, one or two things over 10 years.
So another game that's focused on the narrative is Until Dawn, which came out on 4th October for PC and PS5. I think it's been like 9 years since the original on PS4 came out.
Yes.
It still looks fine, but of course the remake looks a lot better. It's a more...
And it costs triple more.
Right. And it does change things up, so you don't have that fixed Resident Evil style camera. You have a free camera, which is kind of nice. But yeah, the story is the same. There are a couple of different endings from what I've heard that tease like a potential sequel.
Yeah, I read there's a new ending that
I haven't completed
basically
it
says
yet.
Until Dawn 2 may or may not be coming.
Which is basically them still not saying anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if that would be made by Supermassive then or by the remaster.
Yeah, because the other one's still...
Considering Supermassive hasn't done anything with this remake, I'm assuming they're just sending it to Ballistic Moon, if it even gets made.
Yeah.
I think Supermassive is too busy with his...
anthology.
Yeah.
And Dead by Daylight spin-offs nobody asked for.
True. Except the Dead by Daylight developers, I assume. They're just contracted workers.
Well, it is nice that we have the game on PC now, but technically it doesn't run that great all the time. Like, it deactivates certain effects when I launch the game always. So it looks like kind of a PS1 game then. But it reverts once you activate the effects again. I think it's like connected to ray tracing primarily.
I did hear there's some problems with the PS5 version as well, so... There may be some technical issues that still need to be.
Yeah, PS5 is even worse. That is stuttering a lot in cutscenes, and this
Which
game has a lot of cutscenes. Yeah.
For triple the price, once again.
Right.
The original game costed
may
20
want to
euros.
Wait for a sale there. And yeah, the original game still looks pretty fun.
Or maybe just buy the PS4 game on Amazon. I don't know.
And I think it may even be 60 FPS via back compatibility.
Probably. I'm not sure, but probably.
A remake that is technically a lot better, Silent Hill 2, that came out 4 days later, also for PC and PS5. I think there was already like a date when it could be coming to other systems, like next year at some point.
I think there was some rumors about it, but yeah. I feel like there's always rumors when it comes to like something that comes out in like one but not the other.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if it happens eventually, though.
I think even in a trailer and a promotional material, they said console exclusive until, and it even set a date, yeah. But
they did say for one year only, right. On PS5, so...
Yeah, like the questions are being if it's like, if it'll release straight on that date, or...
Yeah. I mean, the same writing was also Final Fantasy VII Remake, Rebirth and stuff, but we still haven't seen an Xbox release, so you know, it could happen, it could not happen. We don't really know. It probably will happen. It's Silent Hill. The Silent Hill HD collection is still on sale on Xbox.
Oh, sadly, yeah.
I even mocked the Comic Sans font, but technically you can still play some sort of the original Silent Hill 2 on Xbox.
Right.
Which you couldn't do on PlayStation, so I assume it's gonna come out on Xbox eventually. What's the deal is of it?
One of the very few Silent Hill games from Western Studios that actually worked out.
Yeah, like it's definitely done a lot of good for Konami and for Bloober Team. Like,
it just shows that Konami did a horrible job in marketing this game because everyone was like, "Wait, this game is actually good."
I wouldn't even say it's like a marketing thing, because I wouldn't be surprised if it maybe got announced slightly too early, and maybe if they had to pivot some stuff a little bit to like get it closer.
One thing I can tell you is I have a colleague that tried out the earlier version. It's not the same one who tried the review copy, but basically said it's like night and day. What he tried was awful.
Yeah,
pretty much. What the hell happened?
That's why the game wasn't at Gamescom.
I'd imagine that's why it kind of skipped some stuff, and there was a big period of time where they showed like nothing off for it. I'd imagine that's probably why, like, because like once it started popping up again, things started getting a bit better, and like I'd imagine it's been through a bit of a weird development cycle. Because I almost get the vibe that maybe like what it was beforehand was closer to Bloober Team's other stuff, which generally isn't received that positively. So it's like, I think it's probably gone through a lot of revisions. But
Definitely a lot of revisions, because the earlier copy and the review copy are almost two different games. Like, it's amazing how different it looks now. And in a good way, like, they did a lot of improvements, but why even show the earlier version? Just don't. Just wait until it's done.
Yeah. Well, it does have some technical issues on PS5 as well, but only right at the start before you get into Silent Hill.
It's minor stuff. The game is mostly good. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Very faithful to the original as well.
Yeah.
But way smoother controls, so probably the best entry point into Silent Hill these days.
Probably. It's definitely obviously going to be the easiest one to like actually pick up, like,
with
how weird it is for the, like, any of the other games.
The collection has finally been overthrown.
I mean, you still got the weird spot of like Silent Hill 1. Like, I mean, obviously the emulation for that's really easy, but yeah, it's like, will they do anything with that or 3 or
it's
whatever?
Possible.
Like, who knows? There's obviously some other Silent Hill stuff on the way within probably like the next year, I guess. Like Silent Hill F. And
there's also Townfall from Annapurna, but I don't know what would even happen with the game. They did say we're still working on it, but like with what team? Everyone resigned, so.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's one of the ones that's like kind of stuck in a bit of a weird spot right now.
Yeah.
At least it didn't start with the third game, like with Metal Gear Solid Delta.
Well, I think
Metal Gear Solid Delta is also looking pretty good. Like, Konami is going through a bit of renaissance.
Yeah.
That's kind of similar to what happened with Capcom. They're trying to actually get their stuff together, finally.
Like, and they've also been re-releasing, like, with, like, Castlevania, you can get access to, like, a good chunk of Castlevania on, like, modern platforms now, easily, with actual decent ports, so it's, yeah, they're definitely good work. I think for Metal Gear Solid 3 specifically, it definitely wasn't, like, a bad choice, because,
like, it is a prequel. Yeah.
It's a prequel, and it's not, like, I feel like if they tried to do 1, it would, like, run into the same issue as, like, what happened with Silent Hill 2, where people be like nitpicking like everything anyway.
Yeah.
And obviously it would just take more work because of it being a PS1 game originally. And obviously Twin Snakes had its own issues, so maybe people wouldn't want that. That's Nintendo stuff on that one anyway. But yeah, I think 3 was definitely like a solid choice.
Definitely.
Solid choice, yeah.
Yeah, hey. Delta. Yeah, somehow insert that into something else. But yeah, it's like, it's looking pretty good. I'm tempted to play it. Like, obviously, I've played 3 already anyway, but, like, it looks like a decent version. Whether they try and pull any weirdness with it or not, I'm not sure, but I think it'll probably, outside of, obviously, the visual changes and, like, some gameplay stuff, I think, like, story-wise, it'll probably be, like, pretty much the same.
It's gonna be the same. The only new voice dialogues they recorded were just to do a tutorial for the new camera.
Yeah, like, I don't really expect them to change much.
It's kind of obvious because the controls are different, so they had to.
Yeah.
But everything else stays the same as it was in the original game, from a story viewpoint, so...
Yeah, it's like, if this was, like, a Kojima thing, then I would be like, maybe they'll do something weird with it, but obviously, yeah, that is, yeah, if it's, like, some other team doing
Kojima,
this...
Please.
Yeah, I don't think they'd want to mess with it too much.
One other big release, just 3 days later, today actually, it was Metaphor Re Fantasio.
Which is getting, like, it's getting really, like, positive reception. And
yeah.
Looks like it's going to be another GOTY contender.
It's already sold. It's my, like, Persona 3 Reload was, like, Atlus's fastest selling title ever, and it took, I think, what was, like, I think, like, 5 days to reach 1 million sales, whereas Metaphor's already reached that day one. So it's like, this is looking to be, like, it's already surpassed, like, Reload as the fastest selling Atlus game.
That's really amazing.
So it's like, yeah, we'll see where this goes.
It's obviously a new, like, IP, so that's
yeah, like, it's a new IP, although there's obviously, like,
it's very similar to Persona.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but
so it's like, that definitely helps, but it's still, yeah, it's still a new IP. I think the different setting, like, not having the whole, like, real world, like, school setting is definitely helping out as well. And obviously having it released on, like, 1 billion platforms at day one. I'd imagine they probably have a Switch successor version cooking, or maybe it'll even come to regular Switch. Like, I don't think it's 100% guaranteed, but I think there's still a chance a regular Switch version will happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Switch Succession will definitely happen. Like, there's
definitely
no way they don't
Switch
do that.
Switch 2 version, yeah.
The real question ends up being, are they going to make, like, an enhanced version for the Switch Successor and then have another version for all the other platforms again? Like, pull their usual, like...
A version for poor guys.
Whatever, it's just like, are they going to do their usual, like, they make an enhanced version thing, but it's like a flipped version of what happened with the Shin Megami Tensei 5, where it's like, rather than it being like the first version on everything else but Switch, it's like, it's a new version for Switch and everything. Like, I guess we'll see, but yeah, it's it definitely looks cool. I do want to play it. I will probably hold off for now, but yeah, it looks good. It's just finding the time, because it's like, it's probably close to Persona 5 again for, like, playtime. But yeah, it looks cool. I think that the PC version, I know the demo had a few issues for PC, which got patched. So it's probably where
I guess
the
demo helped sell it a lot, because I think it lasts around 5 hours, which
is
a lot for a demo.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of them are realizing if you're gonna, like, have, if the game's gonna be, like, stupid long, there's, like, no real, like, downside to letting people play, like, a big chunk of the opening and then have that transfer over to the full game, because it's like.
But that also tells how much confident they were in this game.
Yeah. But I definitely think it's, like, a really good strat if you can actually get a demo out like that.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously you can afford, like, 5 hours is a lot, but at the same time, compared to, like, the full game, it's not even, like, 10%. So it's, like, there's still, like, a lot for people to look forward to after playing the demo, and, like, it might actually get them hyped up more, and, like, yeah, like, it probably, as long as they don't, like, really mess up the demo, like, it's basically just a worthwhile investment to have a demo be made for it.
Yeah, definitely. And you can carry over the progress anyway, right?
Yeah, because it's straight up just, like, the opening, like, section of the game. So, yeah, progress transfers over to the full one.
I guess we were talking about early access earlier. Starship Troopers Extermination seems to leave early access this month.
Yeah,
it played also stream.
And yeah, as I was gonna say, we did play that during the early access launch. I think it lost a lot of its momentum really quickly. And then I think obviously Helldivers 2 kind of just put the final nail in the coffin, really. But it was definitely an interesting game. Like, you had the whole building stuff, so you could, like, you built up the bases and whatnot rather than just shooting.
Kind of like CNC Renegade?
Yeah, like, it was definitely an interesting, like, take on that sort of thing. Also, you had the large amount of players and whatnot, like, at one time, too, so it wasn't just, like, a, you know, four-player co-op sort of thing. But, yeah, it was interesting. It felt like the launch version didn't have a lot in it, and it definitely didn't do, like, the best job of explaining some of the mechanics, especially, like, the building stuff. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see what the launch version's like, if it did launch in a state that you could consider 1.0, or it just sort of, they just kind of just took the tag off, even if it wasn't quite ready yet.
Yeah, maybe we'll take another look at it.
Yeah. It was definitely an interesting one. Obviously, like, Helldivers 2 kind of took the wind out of its sails a bit, although obviously that already kind of happened anyway after launch with player numbers dropping, but they do kind of have two different sort of vibes to them anyway, with the bigger squads and the building. Yeah, it's definitely, it's an interesting game.
Did we mention Dragon Ball Sparking Zero about this game?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, so that was Sparking Zero launching same day as Metaphor. Oh, well, within the same day. It's always a bit weird when it comes to different region release dates and stuff.
That's another game I'm willing to buy eventually, but for now I'm waiting. But
it's like one of those ones where, like, if you wait a bit, it'll be discounted, and you can you can pick up the version with all the DLC too.
That's what I'm counting on. Yeah, I want to pay the DLC.
But it looks pretty good.
I grew up with the Budokai Tenkaichi games on Wii, so it's kind of nostalgic to me. It's basically Tenkaichi 4 with a different name. So,
Did they drop the name?
I think Bandai Namco just didn't want to bother translating it anymore. Since the series is called Sparking in Japan, they just said, fuck it, it's Sparking Zero. They spent most of their advertising saying it's Budokai Tenkaichi, even if it's called different. Rather than change names, they just said, get used to it, it's Sparking now.
Yeah. Probably helps out when there isn't a 4 attached to the end of the game's name as well, so you have, like, maybe some new players coming in, going, like, what were the other three? So I feel like they probably could have done that if they'd released some sort of, like, you know, like, remaster compilation or something of the other ones, but they didn't, so...
Yeah, the only collection they did was the original Budokai games, but even that was weird.
Yeah.
It was only PS3 and 360, I think, and it only had 1 and 3. Where did 2 go? Why is there not 2?
So it's always been a bit weird. But yeah, like, it definitely looks pretty good, and obviously there's more characters and stuff coming later on with DLC, and there's probably going to be more DLC after everything they've already announced.
Just a shame there's no original Dragon Ball characters yet.
Yeah, that's the thing, yet, because it's like, if they end up being more DLC than what they've already announced, it'll probably happen.
But I guess it's probably because they're planning for Daima characters, which already has Goku as a kid and other kid stuff, so they probably didn't want to have too many repeats, but I assume it's gonna happen for the more original characters besides the inevitable Goku.
Yeah, like, it should happen eventually. It'd be interesting to see who they pick. I feel like there's probably gonna be at least a couple of characters that are a bit weird, because there's already a few in the base roster for Sparking Zero that are more there because they were in some of, like, the Budokai Tenkaichi games. It's kind of like, we might as well put them in this one. the weird choices.
The Frieza soldier is back. I thought they would cut him off, but no, he's still in.
Yeah, so it's like, It's definitely cool. Like the base roster's already got like a ton of characters. Obviously, there's like a bunch of overlap with like a billion versions of certain characters and whatnot, but they still have different moves anyway. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And yeah, DLC is gonna add even more, and then potentially even more future DLC is gonna make the roster even crazier.
I mean, Xenoverse 2 is any indication that DLC will stop.
Xenoverse 2 just
still going.
Speaking of licensed games, we are also getting a Quiet Place game. Kind of seems like an Alien Isolation type first-person horror game.
Yeah, I keep seeing it pop up, but I haven't looked up anything about it.
Yeah, I'm watching the 10-minute gameplay from 2 months ago. They dropped a live-action trailer, but very little gameplay available so far.
Yeah.
Seems like to have a lot of environmental puzzles, but yeah, it seems to be pretty straightforward and cinematic, I would call. Monsters already look very similar to the ones in A Quiet Place. Really like the first two movies. The third one was kind of different. Day one, it wasn't bad, but yeah, the first two ones are a lot better connected than the third one feels a little out of place.
Yeah, and they announced there's going to be like an optional mode that involves using the microphone. So like, it'll actually like detect how much noise you're making.
It's cool. Hopefully the console will be quiet.
It's like indie games, like very niche games with that concept. So
yeah, like it's cool. Yeah, it's basically just a bit like an optional thing you can enable rather than like it.
Yeah, obviously.
Because if it's obviously, even if it wasn't optional, all you'd do is mute your mic. Like it wouldn't really.
Imagine like your parents going, "Hey, dinner's ready," and so suddenly you're dead. Yeah, thanks, mom.
Yeah, I'm definitely just see how, like how lenient it is, or like even without like the whole microphone thing, I'm wondering like how they are gonna handle noise detection and stuff, because obviously like in the movies, it's like if you made a bit of noise, you'd probably just be dead. But like,
yeah,
I feel like it's gonna be obviously way more toned down.
Yeah.
Unless it's a super massive game where a single mistake kills you.
But only at certain points, otherwise you can fail like every QTE.
And yeah, next week we'll be quite busy. We are also getting Unknown 9 Awakening, which isn't a sequel. It's an all new franchise, I guess.
Yeah, I don't actually know what the name means. There is probably some meaning behind it, but
it does seem pretty ambitious for what it is, but I have no idea what the title means.
From what I know, it's like obviously it's mostly like stealth based, but it has a bit of leeway. It's kind of like, you know, in like Metal Gear Solid, where even if you screw up on stealth, it's not like insanely punishing. You can kind of still get away with it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. I watched like a little bit of it. It looked kind of interesting. Like you had the whole like you could like possess people and stuff, or like just like a lot of like powers that make it more interesting than just, you know, hiding behind a wall or in some grass or something.
Yeah. So kind of like Dishonored maybe in a way, but yeah,
a little bit. But like, I'm not gonna say like passive, like. You know, you can like straight up just like kill people in it. You could just like possess somebody with a gun and have them shoot their allies and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely interesting from like the little bit I've seen of it. I swear I'm trying to remember if it was this game or something else where it was this one where it had the like kind of like Uncanny Valley like live action-y stuff where it just didn't look quite right. It's a bit strange, but yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. I feel like it's just sort of releasing to not that much fanfare, but I guess that's not that unusual. Like, there's just that much stuff releasing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also getting a new TMNT game, Mutants Unleashed. Haven't seen too much about it.
I think it's a DLC. Is it a DLC or... Oh, no, it's a new game, okay. Because I remember there was a DLC for Shredder's Revenge, so I thought maybe that was the one. But...
yeah, that's Blizzard's Revenge is getting like the couple extra characters. But yeah, this one I haven't really seen. Yeah, I thought
that was the one, but no, it's actually a new game. I actually missed this one, but...
yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot about it.
It kind of was, announced and just dropped. I don't know. I don't know what to think of this. I'm looking it up as we speak, but it could or could not be interesting. Okay, it's a movie-based game. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, that explains a lot. Apparently, it's inspired by a TMT movie. Which I also have no idea about, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, it supports co-op locally, unfortunately not online.
Shame.
But yeah.
It exists.
It exists, yeah.
It has turtles, it has pizza. Let's move on.
Speaking of franchise games or licensed games, we're also getting a new Batman game exclusively for the Meta Quest 3 and I guess now also for the 3S.
Here it Batman is, guys. Arkham your Shadow. New Batman Arkham game. But it's only in VR.
It's not even just only on VR. It's only on Meta Quest specifically. Well,
yeah. 3S. Not even for your Steam, probably for a
year or half a year, I would imagine.
Yeah, so it's like maybe it'll come to other stuff eventually, but yeah. Bit of a
and see not even for your Steam Index two,
or
maybe.
Whatever the VR system is called. Only Meta Quest 3.
Well, it's a bit of a weird one.
You can go rot with the Joker in jail.
It's just because it's published by
Meta themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like whether it'll actually come to anything else is kind of up in
probably
the air.
When if the exclusive period ends at some point.
Yeah, I don't remember Meta publishing any game for Steam VR, for example. So yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Meta actually published those games when the deal is over. Probably, I don't know much about Meta, so.
Yeah, maybe.
But I do know that some Meta Quest exclusive games eventually release to other VR devices. But
with Death Stranding, where PlayStation published the PlayStation version and then 505 games for other platforms.
Yeah, there's always a chance they do that.
Yeah, it was a separate deal, but that was just for the PC version. PlayStation ensured the rights for the console exclusivity, and they basically found a loophole where they said, oh, so for we can pick whoever we want for PC, right? And then whatever for Firewild games.
So we had Arkham VR.
It was also a weird choice, but...
Right. We had Arkham VR, I think that was for the first PSVR?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was quite different from usual Arkham games. This is much closer to the Arkham trilogy, I guess, and the prequel that nobody likes to talk about, but it's pretty okay.
Not to mention the sequel.
There was after Arkham Knight.
We played the sequel, but you probably forgot.
That's not a sequel.
It's supposed to be a sequel, unfortunately.
Right. I've heard they're working on a new screen-based Arkham game. But yeah, we will probably not see anything regarding that for a few more months. Probably. But this looks way closer, so there's actual combat.
That's actually Batman.
To do in VR. Yeah. It's not just a Batcave like in Arkham VR to explore. Yeah. I will probably try it out with the 3S that comes out next week. So maybe more on that in the next podcast. So we're getting a sequel to Goat Simulator, but I think that's only the last gen part again. Is it?
I think
like
it's a support. Yeah. I lost count with the Goat Simulator games.
Well, the whole thing with Goat Simulator 3 is that there specifically isn't Goat Simulator 2.
Oh, right.
As well.
Because it's three-player co-op, right?
Yeah. But I think it's just as a joke more than anything else. Just like... But yeah, the PC version of 3 came out, like, I think it was still this year, but yeah.
They also announced a remaster of the first game, and basically they said, Just buy anything else. Don't actually buy it.
Yeah, the end of October is pretty busy with mostly remakes and remasters or ports, but some actual new games, like a small game called Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
Never heard of it. Also,
first Call of Duty probably to come day one on, to Game Pass.
Yeah,
Game Pass Ultimate. Now we have to specify.
Yeah, specifically the the most expensive.
Or PC Game Pass. Game Pass is also fine.
Yeah. But, I remember seeing people for Black Ops 6 going on about, like, because, like, the movement's super crazy now. You can just do a bunch of weird stuff, like sliding around everywhere and things.
There's also now a feature where you can take someone hostage, basically. And I already saw some very creepy stuff. Let's just leave it there. You probably already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like an extension of the like the death mic, like where you could hear what somebody was saying when as they die. Like it's like an extension of that. Yeah. Now you can like speak to people after you.
That's so odd.
And you just throw them before killing them. Who thought this was a good idea?
It is a good idea.
It's gonna
hilarious.
Get people die. It's gonna get people banned on Twitch or whatever, right?
Well, you can disable that sort of stuff if it's anything like the like hearing what people say after they die. So it's like I'm pretty sure you can just turn it off. But yeah, so it probably will get at least one person banned on Twitch.
Definitely.
On the same day, we're also getting Sonic X Shadow Generations. Have you guys been able to play it? Maybe.
No.
No, I did. Like a lot the original Sonic Generation game, so I'm glad this is coming out.
Yeah, it's a very weird one because it's more than just kind of like a remaster. It's kind of like a remaster with another game stuck on it. Almost,
yeah,
with how they're doing it, which is kind of cool.
You should like, think about it like the Bowser's Fury.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Super Mario 3D World. It's just a different campaign with you.
Just looking up that name.
It's pretty much that sort of thing. I suppose like the gameplay is generally like closer to Generations than like because like obviously Bowser's Fury had like a different
style. Yeah, it was
style.
Very different. I mean, this time it could be different either because you're actually playing as Shadow, so that's gonna be
well,
some differences.
The specific difference as well, which kind of does link into the whole Bowser's Fury thing, is as well where like obviously in original Generations, like the bits in between the actual levels were like just like you know like the 2D. Level selecty thing.
Yeah,
but the actual like before you go into the levels you were just like it was just like you know the white void side on sort of thing, but like the shadow stuff actually seems to have like an actual overworld between the actual missions that you can explore, so it's like it kind of is like Bowser's Fury in that way where it's like it's a little bit different.
Like it's not too much for a, it's not as much for a new game. So
yeah,
fuck it, they just remastered Sonic Generations.
Yeah, it's basically their way of going rather than releasing a smaller game on its own. We'll just include it with regular Generations. It's a cool way of doing it. A lot like Bowser's Fury. Obviously, it means Sonic Generations on a bunch of modern platforms again.
Which is cool. Basically only PC and Xbox could buy Sonic Generations. So via backwards compatibility on Xbox specifically. But
yeah.
Now there's an actual next gen version that can stick around. And on Switch too, now that I think about it. It's gonna release on Switch, so that's also cool.
Game that is probably coming later to Switch is Life is Strange Double Exposure. Thinking of all of the previous releases of the franchise, I think it's like the fifth game in the franchise.
It's
more of a sequel to the first game.
So the first one with Max Caulfield returning, right?
Yeah. I don't know what to think about this.
Yeah.
Because they're going at it with like different storylines, alternate universe bullshit, and I'm already getting multiverse PTSD, so I don't know what to think about this.
Yeah,
I guess we shall see.
Yeah. They're going all out with the marketing, so you already know every song that is in the game. I think it was kind of special with the first game that you discovered the music through the game that was relevant to the story, but now you know everything already.
Yeah, there's not leaving that much to spoil, but I guess there's the, I guess the, you could call it a Chloe Schrodinger. Like, she exists and doesn't exist at the same time.
Right.
Until we get some proper explanation. You know, the first game is ending were a bit of a mess with the way you could choose to enter. Trying to make both canonical, but at the same time, how do we handle this in a sequel? You know.
Yeah, I think it picks one of the endings, but I'm not sure which one. And we obviously we
no, don't that's want why I'm talking about multiverse stuff. I think they're picking both endings, but like there's one storyline and another that like intertwines, but you don't actually see for yourself.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of weird from what I'm understanding at least. I try figure
that,
out something.
That seems to be it, because it's like the whole obviously double exposure of it, and it's going on about like the two different like sort of timelines or whatever. Like, I think if that is the gimmick.
Or if you doomed the Arcadia Bay or just decided to kill it should be killed or whatever.
Yeah, like, I'd assume that is the main gimmick. Rather than picking one or the other as the canon ending, they're both gonna tie into this one, I think, is the whole idea behind this. Which could end terribly, depending on how they go.
That's why I said that I don't know what I got to think about this. I hope they do an amazing job, but... I it's am my doubt, sort of so we shall see.
Yeah, it's like also the sort of thing that could like lead to weirdness later on as well if they do any more that take place in the same universe after. It's like, what do you do after that?
There's also a new game coming out next year. It was supposed to be coming out this year from the original developer of Life is Strange, Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, which is kind of very similar to this one. So it was probably a good idea not to mess with that franchise and to move it to next year. And yeah, it's quite promising. Played a bit of it, the first look build. And it's gonna be coming out. Life is Strange was always episodic. This one is not. But now the new game from the old Life is Strange developer will be coming out in two chunks. But I think they're only like a few weeks apart.
That seems a reasonable way to handle it. Like, try to handle it like an actual TV show. Build some hype and terrorize the last part.
Yeah.
That could actually work out. Compared to the Terror Tale formula where you just release one episode and suddenly 4 months afterwards, hey, episode 2. And then the series gets cancelled because the studio shuts down. The Skybound has to come and pick up the pieces, you know.
Yeah,
that seems a way more reasonable way to handle it.
Between some of the Life is Strange games, between the episodes were quite large and you completely forgot what happened. So this is a good decision.
Yeah. I don't think episodic games as they were will ever come back because they're too much of a hassle to handle in today's gaming age. But this way of handling it, I could see it happen. Like with every episode ready and just releasing it over a short period of time.
And just two
episodes.
If you
want everything, you can just wait. If you want to watch it like you will watch a TV show, you can just get on it from the get-go. I could see this work. We shall see how the market responds, obviously. But...
Yeah. The goal from the creative director, he told me, Michel Koch, that it stays more memorable, that you don't just play it and forget about it and play the next
one. Yeah, that's what it's the TV show effects, as I was saying.
Yeah.
It gets more memorable if you have
Stranger
to
Things.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have some time to think about it all over, speculate what's going to happen next, you know, and you don't have to wait that long to actually find out.
Yeah, and maybe they could incorporate some player feedback, but I asked them about that. They didn't really respond positively
probably
to that.
Not, because it's, it's too short of a time.
Yeah. We're finally getting Red Dead Redemption on PC. It only took them 14 years.
It's been 4,000 years. But it finally happened.
And no
we
multiplayer.
Can finally mod John Marston on PC.
Yeah, maybe there will be multiplayer mods for that then.
Probably, yeah, knowing the community. They're gonna remake Red Dead Online.
And we're also getting Undead Nightmare that I think that also had like a
I think it includes Undead Nightmare.
So hopefully at least that will have like a co-op mode, but I'm not so sure about it. But asking like, I think $50 or £40 for it is quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's the same price they used on console, so I'm not surprised.
But it's also 30% off on PlayStation Store, so maybe they will have some sales soon or also.
Well, eventually there's going to be some sales, yeah, but for now, PC players will have it rough.
Yeah, the pricing is very stupid. But
Rockstar knows you can get away with it. Sadly.
Pretty much. But yeah, I'll pick it up eventually when it gets a big discount. I still haven't played 2, so I'm probably just going to pick up 2 beforehand. But
I mean, 2 is a prequel, so you may as well pick 2
before. Yeah, it's like, I may as well just like buy that because it's always on sale. It's just like, it's one of those ones where it's like, if I buy it, I'd want to play it straight away and like just play it, and I know it's long, so.
It's very long, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to play in sequence, you would need to play 2 first.
Yeah. It's a bit weird naming, but yeah, 2 is actually set up before the events of the first game.
Yeah, so it's not like, I suppose it's not too unusual for how sometimes they obviously have a numbered sequel, but it's actually a prequel, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think it does make sense to play 1 first, so you actually have the payoff at the end of 2.
Yeah.
And ties into the events you already know about.
Yeah, that definitely
works out. Yeah.
And you get to know more about the older life of John and the gang and stuff. But so it definitely still works out.
Yeah. Getting a fourth Dragon Age game, finally. Halloween.
Well, let's hope it's actually a good game.
Yeah, like BioWare's been a bit weird in recent times. But I've like
the what impressions... do you mean Andromeda was a great game?
The impression
is not a Mass Effect game. The only way I can talk about Andromeda is I tolerated it. Like, it could have been a lot worse, but that doesn't mean it was a really good game.
I definitely think it was rushed out, right? Like, it was not what
at least I played it when it was patched out, and I didn't play it at launch, so that improved my perception of it. But if I played it at launch, I probably hated it.
Impressions of, like, the demo that some people got to play have been pretty positive, so it's like it's definitely like obviously we can't really tell that much.
I really want this game to be good, but
yeah,
I still don't know what to think.
It definitely has a chance at being good, but we kind of have to wait until launch anyway to find out.
Yeah, it does look a bit interesting, but
yeah,
let's hope it actually holds out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. If the full game holds up for like however long the story ends up being.
And yeah, we're getting no less than 3 remasters on that same day. Shadows of the Damned, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Stalker Legends of the Sun.
I mean, yeah, like, that one is the Switch version because it's already out for console.
But yeah, so like Stalker on Switch is cool. Shadows of the Damned getting remastered is pretty interesting. And
I think
also
the developers of Shadows of the Damned did mention that if the game sells well, they will probably consider a sequel, and they already laid out some ideas for either a weird spin-off or just a sequel. Yeah. So they're pretty much asking people to buy it if you actually want one. We shall see how the market responds. Horizon Zero Dawn Remaster has no reason to exist. Let's just say it how it is.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's such a waste of time. Like, what's the like? Yeah.
I mean, the original Horizon Zero Dawn game at most times still looks better than whatever they showed for this remaster, because the models were actually unique, and now they're trying to use the stuff they had for the second game, which looks very weird, other than the first game.
Yeah, it's just...
And it was still gorgeous. It was a gorgeous game. Like, why are you remastering it? There's no reason to remaster it.
Yeah, like, it doesn't even have the excuse of Until Dawn where there was no PC version.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have that.
You already released it on PC and now you're putting it off because you want to sell remaster. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's like... It's just... Oh, it's so pointless. Like, why...
Just why? Yeah. That's the only question we can ask. Why? Why does it exist? Do people really care about Horizon that much? That's my other question.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed people will care. It's a pretty successful game, okay? But it's not Spider-Man. It's not The Last of Us. Why are you remaking so many games? as much as I like the Horizon series, like, it's not this bestseller you're trying to make it out to be. Like, stop. Stop.
At least we know when Sony removes first-party games from PS Plus that it will get a remaster. Kind of like yeah. Here, this one. But yeah, maybe it runs a lot better on PS5 Pro then, like an 8K or something we don't know about yet.
8K for all the it's 8K TVs.
It's probably going to have some peak Yoshida tree right on the back of the game. Now you can actually see the leaves on the tree instead of seeing some pixels.
it's like there's just it's just such a waste of time. What's the point?
But people will buy it. Yeah, that's the point.
That's the problem. That's the problem. That people will buy it. They shouldn't buy it.
I think at least there is like an upgrade path.
Yes, it's
at the very least there is one. Yes,
but it's like
at least
£10
it's not until dawn. At least it's not until dawn where you have to buy triple the price. But they did increase the price on the original Horizon Zero Dawn game, so there's that.
Right.
It's gone to 40 instead of 20. So
first of all, fuck you. Years to buy the game.
Yeah. First of all, fuck you Sony for doing that. And second of all, it's still better than whatever they did with the Until Dawn, at least.
I guess you can still get used PS4 copies if you want to play it on PS5.
Yeah, it's still a cheaper version. If you have a PS5 with an optical drive. Because PS5 Pro doesn't have an optical drive.
We'll spend extra.
If you want
that.
To buy a physical copy, go ahead. But you have to allow yourself to have a physical copy. So that's another problem.
Yeah.
They created. You can tell that I hate so many of the policies of Sony nowadays, can't you?
Yeah, speaking of leaves, maybe we can leave it at that. So, yeah, quite a busy month. We haven't even talked about the Switch version of Yakuza Kiwami, which is interesting since the game, the franchise
remember
never came
when
to
the
Nintendo.
Original author of Yakuza said, it's not going to ever come out on
Nagoshi,
Switch because it's for kids. Boy, how things changed.
I still think they should have done Zero. Like, it's really weird to me that they went with Kiwami first.
Yeah, Zero was their big break in the West, so...
Well, it's specifically, like, Kiwami and Kiwami 2 are more sequels to Zero rather than...
I think they're doing it to...
Because of the Prime show.
Out of the... Yeah, exactly. 49 series.
Even though the story may be not that alike.
But they're
we'll
still trying to make it sound
month.
Like it's related to the first game. So I think they're trying to cash out on that.
Yeah.
Compared to Zero.
I just, I do think, like that probably is the reason, but I definitely think Zero would have been the better choice.
Oh, I agree with you. Like, I'm just explaining just, why they probably did that.
But then you also get the issue there of the name of the show, which is... It just adds even more confusion to the whole Like a Dragon Yakuza like naming convention now. Like,
At least I didn't rename it to Yakuza Like a Dragon Kiwami. They could have easily done that, but they didn't.
Well, it's like, because the show, like, what?
We'll talk about the show next month, I guess.
The naming nowadays is so weird.
All right. Thank you guys for joining. Thank you for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time. Right. Have a great spooky season.
Yep.